Larry Razavi and his Out of Town Checks with our theme right there, Musicians Come and Play. It means it's time for another edition of our Musicians Come and Play program here on KASM, program number 468 in that continuing series. You're listening to your dependable neighbor for all of central Minnesota, KASM Albany, 1150 AM, KDDG Albany, 105.5 HD2, 107.7 on your FM dial, streaming on the World Wide Web at mychasm.com. As our theme wraps up right there, Musicians Come and Play with Larry Razavi and his Out of Town Checks. And we are now at 13 minutes before the hour of 12 noon, temperature reading of 63 degrees. We have our guest in the studios, and we're going to say good morning to Dan Rassier. Good morning, Dan.
Hello, everybody.
Yes, and good to have you here. Well, this is long time in coming here. We've been wanting to get you in here. Dan, of course, a longtime Deutschmeister, played with the Deutschmeisters back in the day, and we're going to relive some of those days. But start out with who you are, where you were born, who mom and dad were. Tell us a little background.
Well, I was born in St. Cloud, 1955. Makes me 67 years old. My mom and dad, Robert and Rita Rass here, and great parents, obviously, and grew up right around St. Joe Lab School, North Junior High, Apollo High School, St. Cloud State University, University of Illinois, Urbana-Champaign, back to St. Cloud State, employed by the Ricori Schools for 45 years.
Wow.
And I was at St. Ben St. John's University teaching part-time for 20 years, and so on and so forth, I guess, you know.
Yes, and you mentioned the lab school, those glory days. They started a band back there back in the days, and guys like you and me went through that band program there. The band director, do you remember him back then? Was it Paulson?
It was I remember Mr. Pearson.
Pearson, Bruce, okay. Pearson. Yeah, he was the first one.
And I remember him because all my four older brothers and sisters had him.
Right.
And then there was Mr. Paulson. And there was another person in between there.
Okay.
But, of course, then I went to North and had Don Nelson.
Yes, Don, very good.
Yes.
Very good trumpet player. Did some work with him over the years, playing with him. So, yeah.
And as we were talking earlier, Ted Thorson at Apollo.
Yes, Ted was a band director for me at Tech, the 2 years I was at Tech. He was a wonderful musician. The funny story, I don't think you maybe haven't heard this, but being a band leader, band director of sorts that you are, you could appreciate a story like this. So we had marching bands back in the days at Tech, and of course the Cathedral before that, and nowadays it's just not the same. But so the band director, of course, is getting things. We'd have marching band practices in the evenings, and so you'd be out in the parking lot lining up, and the director, of course, is doing paperwork or whatever first before he comes out. Well, Ron Eichmeyer, and you know Ron, too.
Yes.
Because Ron, great tuba player. And so we would be out in the parking lot, and, of course, having started playing in polka bands. And Ron would always start up with a tuba. Boom, 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 boom. Happy days are here again. And, you know, a lot of the city kids, of course, looked at the, like, that's kind of bush or whatever. But, well, we were having fun, and so we'd kick it off and play that. And all of a sudden, pretty soon the whole band's playing. They join in. Everybody, even the city kids, you know, thought, wow, this is pretty cool. We got to do this too. And all of a sudden, here comes Ted out to start the marching band practice. And I just see him put his hand over his ears. And it's like, oh, my gosh, what are they doing to my marching band?
I can just hear it.
Yep. And Ted was not a polka guy. So, yeah, that was fun memories back then. But you too, you did some marching and stuff too back in the days?
Oh, I remember the first year Apollo, we marched a new show every home game, and we did it at Clark Field.
Oh, you did?
And we would learn a brand new show. I don't know how we did it,
yeah,
but
yeah,
all the formations and moving around, playing as a freshman. I'll never forget that. And as the years went on, it became a little bit less and less, but we still worked on a marching show every home game.
Yep. I was part of that, too, back at Tech. I remember that. And, you know, it was a lot of work. But we were really proud of what we did, and I think it built character, and it was so good back in those years. I don't know. It's not the same anymore. The kids don't have the initiative or whatever that it takes. And
when Apollo opened, I remember going to the veterans open area by their all their buildings over there,
Yep.
in the VA there, and we would practice marching on the grass.
Yeah.
Somehow we could mark it off, and
yep.
we would never be on a football field. We'd
really?
Be doing it, and all these men would be looking out the windows, watching us.
Did you have the little clip on your horn, or did you have your music memorized?
We would use the clip.
You use those little clips, yep. Yeah, we had them. And I'm backing up here. I should have, for the folks listening in, you're a trumpet player by trade.
Correct. I started on trumpet.
I bet after being a band director, you probably know how to play every instrument, huh?
Play all the instruments and piano and guitar.
And guitar as well. Yeah, yeah. So, neat. Well, so that takes you through schools. You mentioned four older siblings, and then is there four after you? Are you the hinge?
I'm in the middle. There are nine children, and four were older. And
four younger, yeah.
I really got my start by having them in band and in St. Joe, and I think your dad had a
big
part of that. I remember that, getting the band started.
Yeah, they had like a committee or something, and he was part of that. He really was passionate about getting the youth involved already back in the days, and this was before the band had formed. Dad was the drummer with the Deutschmeisters for those first 10 years, and he worked out a deal with Betty that I could get a concertina lesson every week for 5 years, and I think they were 50 cents. I was half price that time, so 50 cents a lesson, and he made sure that I got there for those lessons. So
that is what it takes, supportive parents.
Yes, you bet. You bet. So through the years, before we get to your music career, so then teaching at Ricori, were you the concert band director, or what was your capacity there?
I basically, you know, in a nutshell, taught beginning band for 33 years.
Okay.
Taught a lot of junior high band,
okay.
middle school band.
Okay.
And I really didn't do high school band at Ricori.
Okay.
And it was pretty much beginning band, junior high band. And then I, as the years went on, obviously the cuts started happening.
Yeah.
And I became more of a elementary music teacher.
Okay.
And that went on quite a bit. And now, right now, I'm full-time teaching elementary music. No band at all.
Oh, really? Okay. So just giving like private lessons or
if I give private lessons, it's after school,
okay.
kind of private situations with parents.
Sure.
And marching band. I did marching band like for All City Marching Band,
yep.
St. Cloud a couple years.
You did.
We're talking 30 years ago.
Okay. Work with Gary Zwack then?
He was before me and then after me.
Okay. Okay.
So.
Okay. Awesome. Well, those are great years and great memories, you bet. So then you picked up the polka music thing as a sideline?
You know, if we get into that, I have to mention names like in high school.
Okay.
And you know some of these names.
Definitely.
Jim Kahn.
Yes.
Who is a brother to Roger and Ron Kahn.
Yep.
Played with the Deutschmeisters.
I played with all of them. Yep.
And Jim kind of got me started. He was at Apollo and playing trumpet, and he asked me to come and practice, you know, with mm-hmm. this group, and Mike Kuschel and
oh, yeah.
Mark Skaya, and then at the time, Piringer was on drums, I believe, and Dave Piringer. And
Dave was a tuba player.
And yep. and then there was some people that, who knows where they are now, but
yep.
we would go practice, and we were called the Happy Dutchman.
Oh, that was the name then?
That was, yes. And
okay.
So Jim Kahn was the one that really got me interested in the old-time kind of music.
Okay. Yeah, because a lot of those same fellows I knew then developed into the band called the Polka Six Pack.
Yes, I was part of that for a while, too.
Oh, you were? Okay, yep. And Ron Eichmeyer, my buddy there, was part of that, so... yeah, and I did fill in on drums a couple of those jobs, so got to know them. Well, then those same guys also played in with the Deutschmeister, so I suppose that was how you got introduced to the Deutschmeister band, huh?
Well, part of my connection with the Deutschmeisters would have been also Tom Merton.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Because Tom was a good friend of my brother Mike.
Yep, St. Joe.
Tom would come over to the farm, and
yep.
and we would play in church together.
Yes.
And I remember like Lola Wolf would be on the pipe organ.
Yeah.
And she would, you know, listen to us. And pretty much Tom had me, I believe it was maybe 9th or 10th grade. I played with the Deutschmeisters at the Richmond Coliseum.
Oh, really? So you played second trumpet. Tom was probably first.
Yep. And I remember Tom saying, louder. You have to pump it. Now, of course, there were no microphones. You have to pump it out.
Yeah.
We need more sound.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. So where was your first playing job, old-time-wise? Where do you remember your very first?
The first time I played with the Happy Dutchman would have been a VFW, I think, for a New Year's Eve, like East Side, St. Cloud, VFW. Mm-hmm. And I remember the night pretty well. It's just like, wow, we're getting paid to do this.
Yeah, and that's what impressed me, too, as I got into the old-time music. My friends were going out, you know, in those years. Social life was key as you graduated from high school. And, my friends that were not musicians were paying to go to these dances. And if you played, you got in free. And then you got paid at the end of the night, you know, maybe only 12, 14 bucks. But in those days, that was a lot of money.
Yes, it was.
So, yeah, neat. Do you remember your first job with the Deutschmeisters then?
Well, the first job would have been that one, like, in 10th grade at the Richmond Coliseum.
Okay.
And I remember Tom Merton so much helping me along and giving me some hints.
Yeah.
And it was weird for somebody to be telling me to play louder.
Yeah.
I remember that feeling, like, it's not loud enough.
Yeah. Yeah. I can understand that. Well, Dan, if we can ask you to hold that thought, we've reached 12 o'clock already here in central Minnesota. Going to read the ad for the sponsor to St. Joe Meat Market, then we'll come back to you. So, it's the St. Joe Meat Market, and one of the finest meat markets around. Sunday is Father's Day. It's time to switch things up. Instead of the usual necktie for Dad, why not come into the St. Joe Meat Market and buy Dad one of those delicious steaks for on the grill, and maybe one for yourself while you're at it as well. Yum! There are many to choose from. T-bones, club steaks, sirloin, ribeyes, flat irons, chuck eyes, and more. The brat of the week this week is our smoked Hawaiian brats. Stock up with plenty for when friends and family drop by. As always, you can take 30 cents off each package at the checkout counter all week long on limited quantities. Cooking and serving at the brat sale out in front of the St. Joe Meat Market this weekend is the St. Joe Knights of Columbus. Come out on Friday and Saturday and show your support for a great organization while enjoying a burger and fries or a brat and a beverage. Always more in-store specials at the St. Joe Meat Market. Like us on Facebook. Look for us on the web, www.stjosephmeatmarket.com, or call 320-363-4913 for more information. And that's the St. Joe Meat Market, and a happy Father's Day to all the dads. Dan, for being our guest on the program, we put up a nice meat package at the meat market, and we get that to you. I have that here for you today, and hope that you and those around you enjoy it in good health. How's that sound?
Thank you very much.
You are very welcome. So, playing with the Deutschmeisters, this would have been probably before 1980 then, huh?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, Tony died in 1980. So you worked for Tony then too, huh?
Oh, yes. I remember Tony very well.
You do. And he was a good concertina player.
I remember, I could bring this up if it's okay.
Absolutely.
I think it was the Gibbon Ballroom, and I brought this up to my brother just the other day, that we're playing and it's extremely windy. We're setting up, and remember the trailer they had?
Yes.
That would, like, perch up, a big metal thing?
Yes.
And Tony had just, he would put his concertinas in the back of the car, the station mm-hmm. wagon. And he just grabbed those two stations, the two concertinas, and he's walking away from the car. And I'm coming out to get another load of stuff. And the wind takes this trailer and just takes the top of it and slams right into the back of that station wagon.
Oh, my gosh.
He would have been killed.
Really?
I mean, that it would have just hit him right in the head.
Wow, wow, wow. Yeah, I remember that. That had those panels that lifted up. And so I can see the heavy wood, and the wind would have really got a hold of that. So, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember those days so well. I actually bought one of their station wagons after they were done with it, the red one. I had ridden in that many times with the Deutschmeister band, and then Tony traded for a new one. And so I was in need of a car, and so I wound up buying that. So all of a sudden I was driving the same vehicle that I had rode into many jobs. So, but Those were fun days back with the band. A lot of camaraderie with the musicians. There was usually six or seven people in the car all the time.
Yes, and, you know, when I played in those days, I was going to St. Cloud State and just taking overload classes, very busy, and you really, I can remember not a, because later on I kept playing with, you know, the Deutschmeisters, and at that time you're so busy, you're not able to appreciate what's happening, the band you're playing with. I remember realizing, well, this is good musicians and everything, but never fully appreciating how lucky you were.
And they had good music. Betty did most of the arranging for the band. The music was easy to read, and there were nice arrangements, I always felt.
I'm a reader, so it was nice.
Yes.
Everything's written out. I can remember starting to, when I got a little more confident playing the music and changing some.
Oh, you did.
Some of the music, and Tony made it clear to me, no, you play what's written.
Uh-huh. You know? That's great. And the other thing that you probably could mention or allude to is when you were so busy and you were playing with them, those usually weren't close jobs. I mean, they did play Richmond and Avon and St. Cloud, but a lot of their jobs, especially on Saturday nights, were maybe as far as Rochester or further.
Yes. Rochester is a very special one because Tony and Betty would treat us to supper, and we would stop in Bird Island, I think.
Yeah,
Pine Island. And we would go to this restaurant. I remember stopping there just to see it again after 40 years or whatever. And I believe it was closed, but it was open. I just hit it at the wrong time. But
sure.
I would get the shrimp dinner or something like that. It was really special.
You bet. Well, we should talk about some of the musicians that were with the Deutschmeisters. And when you were playing, did your siblings follow you into the band, or were you the first one, or were they first before you?
I was the first one of the Rassiers, and then after me would have been my brother Rick, who played clarinet and sax.
Yep.
And then Nancy came in there maybe about the same time. She played sax and clarinet.
Okay.
And my brother Kevin played a few jobs, not a lot, on tuba.
Okay. Very good. Very good. Some of the other, well, you mentioned Tom Merton. Tom was a very good trumpet player, and I'll help you out with this. Did you get to play with John Wagner at all?
I don't believe so.
John was a very strong trumpet player. Tony used to get a lot of musicians from St. Cloud State. So those were, already experienced good musicians. And then it was just a matter of kind of blending them into the old-time style from, opera or concert-type music or whatever they might have been studying. Who was the tuba player that you all remember, tuba players?
There are some names that I can't remember because he lived in the cities, and Betty would work
Gary Bakenstos, yep.
And I remember Jolly Jay playing with
Jay
the
Patterson.
Band sometimes.
Yep.
And there's some other, Dave Pieringer.
Yep, he was a good tuba player.
And even Mike Wolf would play the tuba.
Yeah, I heard that he was the drummer, but all of a sudden he started playing. I think it was because they were having a hard time getting tuba players at that time. There were so many bands playing, so there was such a large demand for tuba players. Trying to think, how about Bob Nathie? Did you play with Bob at all?
I believe so,
yeah,
yes.
Bob was in there for a while, too. Another good tuba player. Of course, Betty was on the piano. That was a constant. Tony was on concertina. Did you ever have Arnie or Butch sit in with the band?
Oh, yes. I remember Arnie and Butch pretty well.
Yeah.
And, of course, after Tony died, Butch would play quite a few jobs. I remember some big jobs with Butch, yes.
And not to criticize or belittle players or anything, but Tony was more of like an Elmer Scheid type of concertina player. He played it straight, and like he looked at you, he wanted it played straight too.
Yeah.
Nothing fancy. Now, Butch and Arnie, they were young and their fingers worked so well, so they did a lot of the fancy fingerings and stuff like that. Very similar to what Carl Hartwig does nowadays, or Gary Brigham or Brian Brigham. Really, they were really adept at it. And so I know my dad telling me that when they would sit in, it was just a real treat because they were so fluent the way they played the concertina.
I remember sitting, you know, for the concertina solos and just having that feeling of going, just listen to that.
Yeah,
that,
yeah.
That box, I had no idea how to play it.
Yep.
Still don't.
Okay.
But I mean, I would just sit there in awe of the sound and how cool it was. It was just so neat.
Yep. That's awesome. So then, Tony got cancer and Tony died in 1980. And then Betty was still in good health. And as she told me, she wasn't ready to die or put the music away. And so she started searching for concertina players. And she tried a lot of them, huh?
I just remember Butch and Arnie the most.
Okay.
I can barely remember who else was in there, but I played with them for all those years.
Yeah.
And for a while there, Tom Merton was playing where they only needed one trumpet.
Oh, yeah.
And then Tom would be playing, but he would call me for, you know, subbing, that kind of thing.
Sure.
And I played quite a bit that way. And I, meanwhile, for many years, I was playing with Stan Kornick.
Oh, yeah.
The Stan's concertina band.
Yeah.
Probably 20 years with them.
Really? Wow.
And still playing with the Deitchmeisters when Tom couldn't make it.
Okay. And then, Reed Ronald was another band. He had bought the Gil Stiles library. And so Ray began to need musicians. And so he would call you frequently. And I was a regular with that band. So that's when we got to work together.
I wish we could still play, but it sounds like that's not going to happen.
Yeah, Ray has pretty much put the concertina away. And he's just not, you know, he figures he's past the age of playing. And of course, it's hard because the venues aren't there to play like we had back in those years.
So. And the fingers have to work.
Right. So true, especially with that instrument, with the concertina. Then also you got calls from guys like Merle Felling.
Merle, yes. That was a fun time.
Yeah, Merle's a great, great guy. Great polka promoter. Of course, everything he does is top-notch. He's got the trailers and the welding service up there in Sox Center. And he got you on their recording. He only made one recording.
That was a long time ago.
And yeah.
I mean, we were both young men.
Oh, for sure.
And I met Merle at the St. Benedict's Chapel a couple of years ago. It was just fun catching up a little bit and remembering the good old times of playing.
Absolutely. Any other bands that you want to give credit to that you played with? I'm sure there was a lot of them that you sat in with.
Yeah, quite a few. It's hard to How about a rock band called Wild Ivy?
Oh, really? That one I hadn't heard of.
We played Chicago, Blood, Sweat, and Tears, Tower of Power, and all that stuff. That was my senior year in high school.
Oh, wow.
We practiced almost every night.
Wow.
But the way things worked out, it was, you know, one member was very not healthy, bad heart.
Yep.
And we're getting out of high school, people are joining the army, that kind of thing.
Sure.
It didn't last.
Yeah. Well, that's really neat. Talking about the music, like with the Deutschmeisters, and you played several different books with all the different bands, comparing them, was the Deutschmeisters easier to read, or how did you find it?
Oh, without a doubt, the Deutschmeisters would have been the easiest to read. It was written more clearly than most music.
Yep.
And I can play by ear, but I really, I do a lot better with the music in front of me.
Yep.
And it's pretty straight away. You didn't have to worry about where to go back to and then jump to this place and then jump over there. It was pretty straight through and that's it.
A lot of the libraries that I've seen over the years had a lot of smudges, a lot of beer spills and that type of thing. And did you find that too? I don't drink much anymore on the set or any time that I do play. If I have a casual drink, whether it's an alcoholic beverage or a pop or whatever. But boy, some of those bands, they really soused it up and they would spill over the music and that ink would run and they were hard to read.
I can remember, I won't mention names, but I can remember playing some jobs where I'm in the car driving home, and back in those days, this DWI stuff wasn't in my vocabulary, and I remember, though, having the feeling, boy, am I going to get home here?
Yeah.
It was pretty scary how some people would drive.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, it's And that's part of what's evolved or changed the music business. You know, the drinking was so prevalent back in the early years, and nowadays, with the way things have gone, a lot of people, almost most people that I know, say, if we're going to drive, I'm just not going to take that chance, you know, and they've lowered the limits and all of that. So, I mean, that's another topic, but it was part of the business back in the days. And so I got away with all good experiences. I can't say that I have a bad memory. And so
I should say this, as long as we're talking about that, it was very hard. I told Tony and Betty, I'm going to join this other band.
Yeah.
And it was just just thinking I'm going to do this. And I joined this other band, but it did not last for me because of that problem where I was scared to get home.
Yeah.
Too much, just crazy stuff that sooner or later I would have been a dead man.
Yep. Yep.
And Tony welcomed me back.
He did.
It was a couple months.
Yep.
And that's all it took for me to realize, no, I belong with the Deutschmeisters.
Good for you. Got a little bit off the topic before, but so as Betty wanted to keep the Deutschmeisters going, and she had the solid band, she just needed a concertina player, the lead instrument there. And so she finally wound up with John Bierman. And as they told me in their own words, John was married to Lorraine. Lorraine got sick, I believe, with cancer and died. I'm not 100% sure it was cancer, but it was something that took her. Then Tony got cancer. And so these two couples had double dated and known each other since their youth. And so they played cards together, played music together, everything through the years. And so as Betty told me in her own words, one night Tony came to her in a dream and said, Betty, you're having trouble getting a concertina player. Why not get John? John could help you out. And John, being the great concertina player that you got to experience too, they went on for just about 20 years. They were married for just about 20 years and continued for that length of time with the Deutschmeisters. And so you were pretty much with them till the end, weren't you?
Yes, I was with them to the end, and I have nothing but just fantastic memories with both of them.
Yep. So, yeah, great, great memories. Well, we've, like I told you, you snap your finger and 15 minutes has gone by. This has been a half hour already. So before I let you go, and I usually ask every guest if they have a special memory as you look back over your career that you want to share with the listeners.
Tons of special memories.
I bet you do.
I think I'll tell you my first memory, which is also very special. I'm probably eighth grade. I'm playing the trumpet, but it's the 4th of July in St. Joe.
Oh, yes.
And the Share Trucking has their flatbed bed out there between the church and the school where the parish center is now.
Yep.
And I'm standing there in the crowd, and Tom Murden and whoever, Tony and Betty are up there, and probably, who knows, Mike Janey maybe. And,
yep.
And and I'm standing in the crowd just dreaming of playing with that band someday.
Really?
Yes. I can remember standing there just listening and listening and listening until I was, you know, you have to go home.
That is awesome. Yeah. Yes. I played with them up there on that flatbed one or two years too. I do remember that. And my dad would have drummed for them. I mean, this is way back. Back in the days when Dad had first bought the meat market, we would even sponsor the Deutschmeisters in the parade. And the one year, they had trouble with the generator. It wasn't metered, and they burned out Betty's piano. And so that was a bad memory. But they had to send it back to Germany to get it reconditioned, retuned, or whatever. And those were, you know, the 4th of July has so changed from what it was in St. Joe back then to now. But that the Deutschmeisters were the band all the time, every year back in those
years.
Yes,
it was every year.
Oh.
It was very in the evening.
Yep.
Like maybe, I don't know. When
9 o'clock.
Okay.
9 o'clock, and it would usually go till 1 o'clock. Back then, the dances were 9 to 1. And nowadays, you can't get anybody to come out after 9 o'clock at night. So it's really evolved, really changed. So.
Yes, I have a picture in my mind of the whole band up there on that flat bed.
And yeah. Some great times. And sadly, so many of those folks, both the musicians and the patrons, are all gone. I mean, you're talking 40 some years ago. And in 40 years' time, we've lost a lot of parishioners over the years. So things have changed. So now they've evolved to Joetown Rocks and rock and roll bands. And it's still good. It draws a crowd into town, but it's just so different from what it used to be.
Very different, yes.
Yep. As you think back about it, old-time music, I mean, it was a way of life back then, wasn't it?
It really was, and my mom listened to old-time music until the end. She loved listening to the old-time music. And
she just passed, a year ago?
No, 2 months ago.
2 months ago it is now, okay.
2.5 months. Yeah. And she loved old-time music, and even one of my last memories with her is your station is playing some old-time music, and I kind of would quiz her, like, who's singing? Uh-huh. Who's singing there? And she would get it right.
She would,
you know, or sometimes she would get I think, you know. But yes.
So great memories there.
And the crazy thing about old-time music, I went to the Way Park garage sale for the Lions, and guess what I find in the record section?
Oh, no, really?
Yes. And even though I have maybe 20 copies already, I have to buy them because I don't want them to go in the garbage.
Yes, I'm the same way.
There's some Deichmeister albums there.
Yep.
And I have them already, but yep. I can't let them go to waste.
Yeah. Well, that is awesome. Dan, our time has run out. We're going to save a little time here to play some music yet by the Deutschmeisters. Of course, you've played with Ray Dronnell and Merle Felling, like we said, but we don't have enough time to play them all. So we're going to focus on the Deutschmeisters now. We want to thank you for taking time out and coming in and being our guest on the program. Like I tell everybody, the good Lord willing, you and I are here down the road sometime. We'll do it again. How's that?
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. You bet, Dan. So with that, we're going to let you run and get our theme started. And don't go away. We've got music coming up by the Deutschmeisters in just a couple moments. Larry Razavi and his out-of-town checks with our theme wrapping up right there, wrapping up our Musicians Come and Play program here on KASM. We're now at 22 minutes past the hour of 12 noon, And we're going to get right into the music of the Deutschmeisters and Dan picking out a few songs that he remembers playing and enjoyed playing with the Deutschmeisters. And I'm going to start out right now with one called the Schneider Polka. Deutschmeisters there with the Schneider Polka, and really great trumpet part in there, and one that Dan played over the years many times. Right now, one of his favorites was the Ping Pong Polka. This comes off of their greatest hits album, the Deutschmeisters with the Ping Pong Polka. The Deutschmeisters there with the Ping Pong Polka. 27 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon. We're in the first portion of our musical treat for Dancing Feet, and that's always brought to us by Jeannie B's Tours out of Freeport, Minnesota. And Jeannie texted me a whole bunch of information like she does every week, and just reminding you that today that there are still seats waiting for you on the Fall-O-Rama Music Cities Tour to Memphis and Branson. This tour departs October 24th and returns October 31st. You can experience 8 days of nonstop sights, music, great food, fun, and new friends and memories. Call today, and you may still take advantage of an early bird special of a $50 discount per person for that Follow-Rama Music Cities tour. The Badlands of North Dakota are maybe calling you to the festivities of the Medora Musical. Join Jeannie Bees on July 21st for four jam-packed days of sightseeing, entertainment, great fun, and food. This tour includes a Trobex Deluxe Motor Coach Guide, three nights lodging, the Pitchfork Fondue, the awesome Medora Musical Show, which is new each season, the Gospel Brunch Show, Teddy Roosevelt Show, and the National Park Tour. Free time downtown Medora, Sarsaparilla Welcome Reception, and City Tour. Five meals and prizes and treats on the coach. Don't miss this one. Call Jeannie B's office, 320-345-1581, to reserve your seats. This is the time to book your daycation and minications for the summer and fall. Tours are filling fast. The holiday tours to Branson and Nashville are popular, so people are calling and sending in registrations now for the upcoming Christmas tours. Again, call Jeannie B's, 320-345-1581, to have the tour schedule sent to you. You can check Facebook and the Jeannie B's website for more information. And if you're wanting to go to Nashville, Branson, Memphis, the Ark Encounter, Hawaii, Ireland, Washington, D.C., Alaska, the Canadian Rockies, the New England Rails and Trails, Fall Colors, or Door County, attend the meet and greet tomorrow morning, June 12th, and that runs from 9:30 till 11:30 at Jeannie B's Tours office downtown Freeport, located next to Delish Coffee. You can go there and enjoy coffee and rolls and see details for many tours planned for you. As Jeannie always likes to say, seeing is believing. So that's Jeannie B's tour, as they proudly bring us the first portion of our musical treat for Dancing Feet here on KASM. One of the fun dances that Dan was mentioning to me that folks liked to do back in the days, you don't see it much anymore, it was the old-time butterfly. Here, the Deutschmeisters are with one called the Butterfly Dance. Thank you. The Deutschmeisters, and that one comes off of their greatest hits album, and one called The Butterfly Dance. And basically, it's a polka and a waltz put together. And any of you that are my age or older remember the good old days at the dance halls. In fact, Dan's still here in studios reminiscing. Some of the dance halls outlawed that dance. They wouldn't allow it because on the polka part, the people would get going so fast, and it was actually dangerous. One of the ballrooms had posts down the center of the dance floor, and so it could be very dangerous for them to dance something like that. So, but yeah, great memories. I danced it back in the days, didn't have any hazardous things happen to me, and so yeah, we really had fun with that, really enjoyed it. 27 minutes before the hour of 1 o'clock, time for just a couple selections right now. Here's a great one by the Deutschmeisters, a polka tune. Nice drum solo in the beginning. No Beer in Heaven. Deutschmeisters with No Beer in Heaven. 24 minutes now before the hour of 1 o'clock, and we're in the final portion of our musical treat for Dancing Feet, and that's always brought to us by Kevin's Countryside, home of the Hustler brand Zero Turn Lawnmowers, located 6 miles northwest of St. Joe on County Road 3. And the message today from Kevin is just simple. Come on out and buy a lawnmower. Yes, Kevin has lots and lots of them on hand. He'd love to sell you one. The Hustler, well, it's the original zero-turn lawnmower, helps eliminate the extra trimming and mowing of your lawn. You can check out the different engine and mowing deck sizes that are available to you. There's other attachments and options available, suspension ride seat. There's baggers and vac systems. So Kevin can set you up with it all. He can do service work for you. Yes, and that's important. Nowadays, when you buy anything, service after the sale is so important. Kevin can do it for you. Change your belts and hoses, your lubricants. He can do it all for you. Sharpen your blades. Stop in and see what Kevin can do for you. And if you've got a machine that's maybe getting a little tired, a little old, he'll make you a sweet deal. Yes, he accepts trades. So call Kevin. Give him a call this week, 320-363-7459. That's Kevin's Countryside, Nice drive out there to Kevin's. He's located 6 miles northwest of St. Joe on County Road 3 on the west side of the road as you're heading out that way. Look for the big yellow post in the ditch with the sign hanging there that says Hustler. And, of course, Kevin also took on that Ego line, battery-powered equipment, line of equipment. And so that's 56-volt lithium battery equipment. So he's got it all there. Handheld blowers, backpack blowers. He's got the weed trimmers, the weed whips, chainsaws, lawnmowers. He's got them all. Check him out. That's Kevin's Countryside, bringing us our final portion of our musical treat for Dancing Feet here on KASM. Well, we've come to that part of the show where it's time to wrap things up. And, we'll pick out a nice waltz tune. And I think Dan would probably remember back in the days, they used the same set to start every dance, didn't they? It was the Little Fisherman's Waltz, Chicago Waltz, and the St. Paul Waltz. Those are the three I remember. Yep, Dan's nodding his head. So right now, we've got the Fisherman's Waltz for you, the Deutschmeisters. The Deutschmeisters, there are some great music by the Deutschmeisters, a great opportunity to play Deutschmeister music today, having Dan Rassier in the studios today, and we sure thank him for coming out and sharing all those memories. Great band from central Minnesota over the years, and lots of connections there. Yes, my dad was the drummer, the first drummer for the Deutschmeisters for their first 10 years of their existence, till Dad bought the meat market in St. Joe. And, of course, then I followed and started out with the Deutschmeister band. Through the years, Dan Rassier played with them. Many of our friends, Tom Merton, we mentioned, Mike Janey, Mike Janey from Sauk Rapids area, Bob Tomporowski, great sax player from the Foley area. A lot more, too numerous to mention them all, but some great musicians going through that Deutschmeister orchestra. So we're now at 19 minutes before the hour of 1 o'clock. And we have to do check weather and funeral announcements and the birthday club all before 1 o'clock when we get to our church services. So we'll get to that in just a moment.